There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we lived through 2020. So, I did consider starting this episode with our usual synopsis and give like a quick recap of the events of 2020 to some ominous music, but it quickly became too daunting and depressing. So, instead, I'll just jump to our first question. Boys, 2020, were we scared?
Yeah. It was fucked. It was fucked. Yeah. I hated every... The other day, I was reading a thing where people were like, oh, but there was some... Maybe there's a few like positives that came out of it.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but also... No, I lived in Melbourne. We got locked down twice. It sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you had a good year in 2020, fuck you, you piece of shit. Like, I think everyone had some sort of horrible type of year.
Some kind of, awful moment. I mean, Melbourne was obviously bad. We literally had one of the worst lockdowns in the restrictions in the whole world.
It was
world.
The harshest lockdown in the world.
Right. Mm. We had a 5K radius. We had... You know, we couldn't leave our house after 8 p.m., this sort of thing.
That was like not like a couple of months ago. And now, like, and we're in the same house right now, boys.
I mean, yeah, we're in the same room for the first time since... I don't remember what the last episode we recorded together was.
No, I think we've recorded more digitally or virtually than we have in person. So this is wild. I'm looking at your faces.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last time we're all together. And I want to say it probably for maybe Dr. Sleep. No, probably not.
No, it would have been something.
Maybe. I think we watched Dr. Sleep together, but I don't know if we recorded it together.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Was it like Tall
We've
Grass?
Done about 40 episodes this year, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, boys.
Yeah.
We're champions.
Well, here's what I was going to say. One of the good things about 2020 has been Scaredy Boys.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
One thing, because it let me know what day of the fucking week it was. And honestly, like, you'd get a bit blue. Obviously, 2020 was hard. COVID was hard. Lockdown was hard. And then we'll do our recordings. I'm like, oh, I feel pretty good now. That was a delight.
I got to see my friends.
Yeah, exactly right. So that definitely has been one of the more positive things of this year.
Yeah, and also watching scary movies and being like, that monster doesn't scare me because there's a pandemic trying to murder me. No, I was still scared. Yeah.
But also, the best thing, actually, I will say this. The best thing about 2020 was because I could watch horror movies solo, which were a double-edged sword. In that I was watching them alone. But the positive edge was I didn't have to watch them with the policeman, Sean Carney, who demands we watch them at night.
Yes.
Oh, if I want to pump this on at 11:30 a.m. while I'm eating breakfast, you betcha.
Look, Tom, I'm not going to lie. I can't respect that.
I know that in your eyes, I've gone down a few notches.
Yeah.
But also then the flip side of that is for a period in the year I was living with Adam, Sans Pants from other shows on Sans Pants, and he fucking loves a horror movie, and so he'd be like, watch it. Even if watching it in the daytime,
right,
he'd start watching me if he'd already seen it. Ugh. And I knew that was bad.
Yeah,
something bad's gonna happen. And then my girlfriend loves horror movies, so I
loves them too much.
You've had a very scary year.
It has. I've watched stuff that I didn't have to watch.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this. I looked through and we've done about 40-ish that have come out, and I was thinking, Damo, you've definitely watched more movies, more horror movies this year than you have in your entire life.
There is zero question.
I think I have as well, probably. Yeah. But Tom, you definitely haven't.
I absolutely have. I've probably doubled my output because I'm watching shit that I'm not even making you guys watch.
No, yeah. I'm watching your letterbox going, Tommy, what are you doing?
Oh, I had 2 weeks where we had a trial of Shudder and we were just watching heaps of shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Killed me. Some of it, dog shit.
Yeah.
I think I gave out 2 1-star reviews based on a Shudder movie. But some of them just like, phew. I tell you what though, on the other flip side though, I have watched a few things where I've gone, well, I'm going to make the boys watch that.
Yeah. So, big dog. Yeah.
Look forward to next year, boys.
But you've come back up in my respect levels, Tom, because you've watched certain things and gone, I will never make you guys.
No, this is true. And I've told you this. I watched a movie that I will never ever make you watch.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that Korean ghost film.
No, I will make you watch. I will try to make you watch Hereditary on Midsummer, but I would never ever make you watch this movie.
I've come to the understanding, Damo, that we will have to watch those at some point.
Yeah, I'm
but
still
not
gonna,
today.
I'm still going to hold off for as long.
As long as I can.
Do what I can to push off.
By the time, hopefully, I'm brave by then.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about the fact though that every time we've asked a guest to come on, nearly all of them, without fail, in the list of because we ask people to give us a list of movies so we can vet them.
Yes.
I think every single guest has had Hereditary or Midsummer.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, it's inevitable.
And we've avoided it at every turn.
Yeah.
2021, baby, it's happening.
Yeah. My girlfriend's really putting the pressure on me to watch Midsummer. It's been about 12 months now.
I just message her every day.
No, don't you dare, son of a bitch. Boys, I looked through the list and I don't know what the last episode we recorded together was. It's really hard to tell because peek behind the veil, I guess, for some of the audience. We don't always release them in the order that we record them.
This is true, yeah.
So I actually can't remember. I don't know when the last one was.
Man.
This whole year is blurred into like one big day. So it's generally hard to know when anything happened. Yeah. All right, well then let me get to our first talking point. Obviously, we won't go through our normal questions this week, but I did want to talk about two things, which is one, what was the scariest movie we each watched this year, and what was also just the best movie we watched this year. So let's start with scariest. Let's get the scary things out of the way first.
I'm assuming this isn't just in general. This is for Scaredy Boys.
Yes.
Because I've watched a lot of scary movies.
No, let's try to stick to the Scaredy Boys schedule.
So I sat down and I was looking through what we've watched, what's come out this year and what we've watched this year. And I was like, there were two moments that terrified me.
Hmm.
And then I ranked them which terrified me more.
Yep.
And the answer is very easy. It's The Host. Host. Host was the scariest movie we watched this year.
Interesting.
For me,
mm-hmm.
in that I watched it during the day and my back hurt at the end. Oh. And I screamed, I think, 3 times.
Yeah.
And then my housemate at the time, Adam, made me rewind so he could watch the last 2 minutes.
That's unacceptable. Yeah, that's probably the reason why you're no longer living with him.
It is. He did that and I immediately packed my bags.
That's actually unacceptable.
It was really fucked. And
that's a man who enjoys watching fear in his friends.
Yes. Yeah. He made me play scary video games, Sean.
It's just bullshit.
It's fucked. No, that for me, Host was the scariest just because it was so relatable because we were all doing those kind of fucking things. It had terrifying jump scares and then also just some really clever concepts. So many payoffs, was very believable. And then the final shot of that film was burnt into my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of it through my eyes. So that's the scariest thing I've watched this year.
Yeah. Tom, that is an interesting one because I think I've probably landed at the same. But for me, The Strangers, which we watched pretty early in our run, and also Ghost Story. The first 20 minutes of Ghost Story, we've talked about this, was probably the scariest moment of the year.
Yep.
And Strangers was incredibly scary, mainly because it felt so real.
Mm.
Yep.
And I just hated it. The scene where she's in the kitchen and he's just there in the corner is fucked. But both those movies shit the bed a little bit in the execution in the third act particularly.
Yep. Yep.
Whereas Host didn't. Host was basically, I think, a good film and a fucking scary film the whole way through. So that probably wins.
Yeah. You and I had the same thought process.
Yes. Yeah. I think Strangers and Ghost Story have scarier moments.
Yeah.
If I was just picking scenes or shots, they win. But as a film, as a product, it's got to be Host.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have a really hard time choosing. I definitely agree. Host is on my list. The first Ghost Stories was on my list. I'm like, yeah, but because it doesn't hold up throughout. But then another one that made the list was Sinister.
Oh, yeah.
Because I actually just kind of felt bad at the end of it. Like, it was definitely scary throughout. It could have also just been because it was a stinking hot day and I was genuinely just feeling gross about myself. But at the end, I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Everything's shit.
Yeah.
And I'm done now. So, I'm going to say Sinister for mine because that got under my skin a bit.
And on top of that, Damo, I think we followed that with Frankenstein.
Yes.
Which was a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah,
so it wasn't added to. We didn't get the lift that we wanted.
Right, we're like normal Hammer horror fun, where it's just like this is so outlandish. This is, you know, you've got a werewolf break or something like that. And it's great. Where Frankenstein was a bit of a dud one. So that's true.
Not fair.
Two more to add into. Please, they've just come to me. The Descent was very scary.
Yeah, that made my
probably up list. To a certain point. I think that's another one where when you got so much exposure to the crawler, is that what they called them?
Yeah, crawlers.
Yes. To the crawlers. You reach a point where you're just like, oh, okay, I'm sort of like...
Yeah, and now. Even like the claustrophobia really got me for that one. Yeah. But at some point, they kind of stopped with the claustrophobia because they had the crawlers.
Yeah.
If they'd kept that through, I think that could have easily made it for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, I forgot about The Descent completely. Yeah. That's probably, as a whole, it probably is ahead of both Strangers and Ghosts. Now, that first 20 minutes of Ghost Story may be the most scariest thing ever put to film.
Yep. I'm
there's been no
that.
Other film that after 20 minutes, Carney has said, guys, I'm happy to turn this off if you want.
To date, even, it is the only movie where you have been like, boys, we can just stop.
Yeah.
I've gone, yeah, we could.
I was trying to put on a brave face as well. That was practically me begging. Like, yeah, I think I said it four times.
Yeah. You did say it a few times.
And it got a little louder each time.
Yeah, and a little more high-pitched.
Yeah.
Boys, we can turn it off right now.
I'm getting sweaty just thinking about it, to be honest. Fuck. And the second one that I'm thinking is Us.
Oh, yeah.
That had moments, particularly when Red first spoke, where we were just...
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, I could have shit myself. It was that scary. But then that's another movie where probably... beyond the halfway point, you got into sort of the fun of it a little bit.
Yeah, well, it just became more interesting than scary, I think. So, yeah, I agree. And then, another one that sort of got special consideration from me was actually Blair Witch. And I think it was one was the first one we watched.
Yeah.
It is generally a terrifying movie. And then that final scene, that final shot of him standing in the corner.
Oh, I don't like what we're doing.
Okay. Let's move on to best movie we watched this year.
So, mine's an easy one in that it's becoming probably one of my favorite horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually talked about it on another podcast as being one that I love, which is Ready or Not.
Oh, there you go. So much fun.
I love seeing it at the cinema with you boys. I've since now watched it, I think, three times.
Ooh.
And it just gets better every time. It's well made. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's everything I want in a horror film.
Yes.
In that I care about the hero. Like I was talking to this with someone the other day, that Samara Weaving has 30 seconds for you to fall in love with Grace. And she gets you there in five.
Yeah.
and so by that point, then you are willing to forgive the insanity of everything that happens next. And you are rooting for her from day dot. It's just, it's funny. It has moments of genuine, like, tension and dread. There's some great, like, jump scares. There's some great, like, gore horror, like that moment where she puts her hand through the ladder. Still makes me sick.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's awful.
Even the fence, she's crawling through the fence.
The fence is bad. The ladder's worse because she's got to pull her hand back off. It's all bad. But I really love Ready or Not with my whole heart. Dr. Sleep was a close second, and we all know how we feel about that movie. But for me, Ready or Not, number one for the year.
Awesome. Of all the ones we've watched, my favorite is probably Train to Busan.
Oh yes.
But I don't know if I can go past Dr. Sleep. And I recently rewatched the director's cut, which I think is about 30 minutes longer. And fucking hell, I don't know. That movie just kind of speaks to my heart a little bit, worries me a little bit because it's a very spooky sort of horror. But it worked for me on so many levels. And I just really love it. And I know, like, there haven't been heaps that we've watched that I'm like, cannot wait to rewatch that.
Right.
I'll watch that every year for as long as I live, probably. But Dr. Sleep's definitely one of them.
So for me, probably Paddington.
Oh, I forgot about the bear.
Our brother. No.
Oh, yeah.
No, for me, it was definitely Dr. Sleep as well. And for the exact reasons you're saying, and even for you, Tom, where you said Ready or Not was almost made for you.
Yes.
That's how I felt about Dr. Sleep. And then same as what you said, Carney, happily, can't wait to rewatch it. I haven't actually rewatched it yet. I definitely want to watch these extra 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, mate.
But even I was thinking about it the other day because I was telling someone about it. And I think it's just because it's so beautifully genre. Because, like, basically, that's really all I read and what I really love to watch is anything genre, accepting maybe romance and western, but like, give me fantasy, sci-fi, horror, mystery. I'm there every time.
Yeah.
And this one kind of has a bit of fucking everything. Like, I just really hit every string on my guitar in my heart and, just left me dazed in how much I loved it.
Yeah. And we've all fallen in love with Flanagan now.
Oh, the Flanagan. He has. I mean, Damo, you're still yet to take the plunge.
I know. I basically made the decision the other day that I have to. So next year, I'm actually teaching in a screenwriting course at RMIT about critiquing television. And so I have to watch Hill House. It's like, it's in the zeitgeist. It's people are going to want to talk about
it. It's a perfect example, dude, because the writing's tight.
The writing's tight. So I'm like, no, literally for my career, I now have to watch this. Is the decision I came to.
Oh, you poor bastard. Sean, I can't wait to get a text from him.
It's honestly, man. Episode 8, by the way.
Yeah. Don't. I looked it up.
It's episode 8.
I looked it up on
worst
that,
jump scare in the history of jump scares.
On that jump scare
of all time.
Website, I looked it up and fucking hell, mate.
No, tell me it's about the story. Tell me how good
the story.
Give me the heart. Give me all the things that are actually going to get me to watch it.
It'll lift you up. It'll fill your heart with joy. It'll give you a hug. Yes, but it will also
punch you in the face.
It'll also, while it's hugging you, you'll feel its nails scraping down your back.
God, and they're going to be dirty, awful, gross nails.
It'll be a beautiful hug and whisper. Just whisper in your ear.
Yeah,
awful things.
If this podcast was also television, that would win scariest thing I've watched every time.
Oh,
it's honestly terrifying.
It's crazy. It's amazing. I like thinking about Dr. Sleep, and it's that same thing of, again, it's interesting that for us, the horror movies that we have loved to watch this year, even Train to Busan, at their core, aren't about the scare, aren't about the violence or the horrific act they've got to go through. They're about the heart or the care factor for the hero.
Yeah.
Why do I give a shit about this person in this scenario?
Yeah.
So, you know, really or not, we care about Grace. We care about we care about every single individual whose story we follow on that train.
Yep.
Not just the dad.
Mm.
It's like, and then, Dr. Sleep, Ewan McGregor is so fucking good in that movie.
Yeah, he's powerful. Yeah.
And Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, but this is what I mean. She's such a great villain because you care about her.
Cliff Curtis.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Cliffy crawls right
and
into
the,
my
the
heart.
Girl, I can't remember the actress's name, but she's terrific as well.
Yes. Oh, I forget how relatable Ferguson is as a villain in that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Again, you get why she's doing what she's doing.
Absolutely.
It's the only thing she's ever known.
Yep.
Yeah.
She cares about those. She's wrong, but she cares. She's literally, oh, man, this is getting real, real into it. But she's literally the whole thing. There's that great, I think we were taught this when we were at uni together, that thing of like, work out why the villain thinks they're the hero of their own story.
Yeah,
that whole thing. And it's like, well, but even beyond that, she's, so everything that Ewan McGregor's character, Danny, doesn't want is people close to him.
Yeah.
People close to him ruined his life.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson has people close to her.
Mm.
And yet she's going about it in the worst possible way.
Yeah.
She's got everything that he needs, but wrong.
Yeah.
And it's so perfect.
Yes. I think I've said this before, but the scene in Dr. Sleep where Dan is at the bar and he talks to his father, that's easily like the best scene of the year.
Yeah.
Of the year that the film came out.
I mean, it's the best scene because it is tying together all these threads from both the book and the previous movie, as well as just a genuinely amazing scene of a character having to talk to this version of his father in a haunted house.
That line is mouths. It's just one every and a new mouth and a new mouth and you've got so many mouths.
It's that thing that that Jack Torrance says where it's like, and those mouths eat up your days on earth.
Yep.
Yeah. It's enough to make a man sick and then are you going to drink your medicine? It brings everything back.
It's unreal.
And it's fucking powerful.
He's peak.
And it gives you what you want to, because remember when we watched it and we were like, fuck, I hope. He sat at the bar and like, fuck, I hope he talks to his dad.
Yeah.
And then bam.
And it could be, the thing about it too that's great is that the guy's not trying to be Jack Nicholson.
No, he thinks he's Floyd the bartender.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until he cracks.
Yeah.
Because Dan's trying to explain to him how the mum died.
Yeah.
And there's that great bit too. It's such a fucking haunting visual. You don't see it. It's just his description of it.
Mm. Oh.
When people are going to die, he will see flies around their faces.
Yes.
And before his mum died, she was like covered in them. And he's...
He couldn't look
McGregor
is
so good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That movie, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Am I watching Dr. Sleep again?
Oh, mate, do you want the director's cut? Fuck, it's good.
I've watched the director's cut.
It's... You don't notice... Like, it doesn't really jump out at you, oh, that's new, because I think it just, which is great, actually, for a director's cut.
Yeah,
it just feels like it's part of the story.
Yeah.
It seamlessly worked and just gave you a little bit more of everything you already loved.
Get a bit more Rebecca Ferguson.
Mm. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah. I think.
You possibly get a little bit more of, like, Danny and Cliff Curtis's character. Like,
the
friendship.
Yeah.
That's nice. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Which is really good. And you get a bit more Abra, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is cool, too. There's one that we should mention, which probably comes second or third for me, and that's The Thing.
Yes.
Oh, it's so fucking good. It's become one of my favorite movies ever, and I've only ever seen it once. That's how powerful it is.
Yeah.
I've got to watch it again.
It's that thing where, you mentioned you've already rewatched Ready or Not. You've already rewatched Dr. Sleep. Happily would rewatch The Thing.
Definitely,
just such a great time.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Still delivered on the scares.
Yeah.
It had everything. It was
And hasn't aged. Like, some of the special effects might have, but the fear and the way it's put together is just like, JC, you're pretty special.
You know why that's interesting? Because we've watched some of the classics as part of this show, and some that are from the same era, really. Yep. And for me, at least, they haven't aged very well at all. Whereas The Thing still feels weirdly contemporary.
Yeah.
Particularly this year.
I don't really want to watch the remake because even though it's more contemporary, it's more modern.
Well, it's not even...
It's a prequel.
It's kind of a prequel.
It's basically what happens
it's
at the base.
Yeah, it's at the base before the dog comes to...
Yeah, the Swedes.
The Swedes, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah. All right. Well, then our next question is basically, we've had a year of watching horror. I want everyone to give us an update on their relationship to horror. Do you think it's changed? Do you think you've grown less of a scaredy boy?
I've watched more, but the answer is no.
Yeah.
Like I still have, I've probably gotten worse. Like I would watch movies and not watch them through my fingers. But now I think because I've accepted that I'm a scaredy boy, so I'm more comfortable putting my hands over my eyes.
Yeah, right.
Whereas in the past, I would just like, I'd just white knuckle it.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
now I'm very happy to be like, oh, fuck, this. I don't need to see this. I can cover my hand.
Oh, I'm happy to look away.
Yes.
I'm happy to look away. But I've watched so many more scary things and it hasn't diluted the fear. Mm. I still find myself, and I think I talked to this on the very first episode we did, I will sit down and watch a horror. It'll be fine. I'm ready to go. I'm excited for it. And then the second it starts, my heart just goes, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you watching this?
Yeah, same.
Still, that still happens. So the answer is no.
Yeah.
I'm still scared.
Yeah.
If you told me when we started this, Sean, you're going to watch roughly 50 horror movies and you're not going to be any better prepared to handle them, I would have been like, what the fuck? Surely I'm going to be better. But I don't feel like I am. I still feel terrified. And we've watched some soft ones, but the hard ones, they hit. And I mean, just a little teaser for next year, I guess. Mm. We have watched one that'll come out next year. That is easily the scariest thing that we've watched, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
So, no, I don't feel that I've gotten any braver.
Well, I feel much the same. Where same as you were saying, Tom, like, if I sit down to watch it, I'm still getting that little sick pit of dread in my stomach. Even before watching it, just knowing I have to watch a horror movie, especially if it's one that I'm like, I'm keyed up to be like, this is genuinely scary. This isn't a hammer. This isn't something a bit fun. It's not ready or not. It's like, no, this is made to get you scared.
Yeah.
Then even like that whole day, I know when I'm going to watch it, there's still that little pit of dread that has definitely not gone because the one you're mentioning, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And same for while I'm watching it, there is this little part of my brain going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Why? You can walk away. You're a grown man. You can do whatever the hell you want. You know?
You know, the worst thing was this year when often we weren't watching them together would be when you guys had watched them first.
Oh.
And that made me feel worse.
Yeah.
Going into it and just like, because maybe you wouldn't have said any spoilers or anything like that, but it would have been like, oh, fucking hell, Sean.
It's going to cook you. Yeah.
And just, like Evil Dead was one for me. I think I watched it last.
Yeah.
And The Witch that we did with Zoe.
Mm.
Ones like that. Going into it, I felt more sick than actually watching the sick things on screen.
Yeah. Jeez. I will say this, though. I definitely have a greater appreciation of horror. Like, we said early on that we've all read horror for a long time and we've written horror. But I'd always avoid horror movies. Where now, obviously, these ones that we're raving about, I never would have watched those movies because I would have put them in the too scary catalogue. Yep. Never would have got there.
Yeah,
I'm so happy I did now. Like, I'm a well-crafted horror movie that still brings all the heart and love and all the things you love from any movie, but also has this high attention through horror. I'm walking away very satisfied from those movies.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's when you're in high school and you had to go abseiling.
Yes.
And you shit yourself.
What fucking high school were you going to?
Was that not a normal thing?
No,
maybe
we
that
did
was
that.
Just out where
camp.
We were doing.
Yeah,
when you go camping. Yeah, not just like.
Oh, we did like high ropes courses, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess shit like that as well. So you're doing abseiling and you fucking hate it at the time and you hate yourself. You hate the school. You hate fucking everyone. You hate the guy who's holding on to you for dear life. You hate it. But then when it's done, you're like, fuck, I'm proud I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what horror
I
films
might have
are.
Cried. I might have cried for 5 minutes at the start and had the guy basically have to push me off.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm proud I did that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And I do think there is a freedom in basically saying, yes, I'm a scaredy boy. So me just sitting down to watch this, that's pretty great. I will allow myself to cover my eyes and bite my nails and all these sorts of things. I don't need to pretend to be brave. I am a scaredy boy and I'm still doing it anyway. So great. Whatever gets me through. Yeah. All right, boys. Well, I do also have a email that we received a couple of weeks ago that I thought I'd read through to you guys, as it seemed like a nice way to see out this year, as it's quite a nice email. But I also think it really epitomizes the reason we started this podcast, which is namely helping cowards like ourselves experience horror films, whether because we're experiencing them for them or we love it enough that they think I'm going to go out and watch it myself. Yeah,
you here we idiots, go. Don't do that.
Yeah, let us take that pain for you. So this email comes from a listener called Rhiannon, and the email was entitled "Scaredy Girl Got Brave."
Oh,
powerful start.
Tell us how, Rhiannon, because we've done 40 episodes and we're not there yet.
We're not. So Rhiannon starts by telling us that she's a huge fan of horror, which comes with some difficulties because she is also a huge coward. So like, we can obviously empathize with that. Mm-hmm. It's a hard cross to bear, where you generally like, you're curious, you want to see it, but you also are very terrified. Hill House is the perfect example. I really want to watch it. I also really don't want to watch it.
It's going to blow your mind, Damon.
I know.
You're going to love it. This is the thing. Sean and I know you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Because it's such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
But it is going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Damon, so bad.
No idea how much I want to rewatch it because I think be the best thing I've seen on TV.
Shit.
But like, I can't. It's that good. But I can't because I'll die.
Yeah.
I'll probably die. Even though I know that I won't, but I think I might.
Anyway.
Okay.
Fuck it all.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rewatch it. Can we watch it together?
Yes, have you done Blind Manor yet?
Huh?
Have you done Blind Manor?
Nah, I haven't had the courage yet.
It's not as scary.
Yeah, but that, I mean,
more heart though.
Oh, I mean, boy. Hill House has fuckloads of heart. Anyway, the email. Sorry.
All right. So Rhiannon goes on to say that she's read a lot of horror. She's even read our horror book, the anthology that the three of us with Gabe wrote, Seasons of Fear, which she gave the honourable chef's kiss reaction to. So
that's good. We don't deserve that.
She even writes some horror herself. She runs a horror RPG for her friends. She listens to horror podcasts, obviously. But horror movies, she says, scare her in a way that no other medium does.
Wow.
She says that she watches maybe 2 horror movies a year and will spend weeks afterwards checking over her shoulder and just literally unable to sleep without the lights on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's genuinely terrified. She's saying all this to basically say, yes, this is how scary I am. Basically, she gives examples. She's like, if she's experiencing horror in any other medium, she finds it fun, exciting, kind of like a roller coaster. But when it's a movie, it's like that I'm going to die kind of feeling, and it's more like the roller coaster has left the tracks and is plunging to the ground.
Jeez.
So all this to say, yes, she's very scared of horror movies. And she does try to push herself to watch them because she knows that there are some really good movies out there, which, yeah, again, we can attest to that. So she says all this to say that when she saw that our show was announced, she was immediately in love with the concept. She said, basically, she was thinking this podcast was designed for me. She loved us from our previous podcast, and that she thought by following the show, she'd be pushed to watch new horror movies if she wanted to keep up with our release schedule. So she dove right in and listened to the early episodes for the movies that she'd already seen, namely Blair Witch, The Thing, The Descent, all of which she says scared the absolute shit out of her the first time she watched them, but she had the benefit that she could now listen to the podcast for those episodes.
Yep.
And then, as she says, in a twist that shocked no one, when it came time to watch movies that she hadn't seen before in order to listen to our new episodes, she chickened out.
Fair. If I wasn't doing this show, I probably would still watch some of these.
No, I'd be too scared to watch The Beast Must Die.
House of Terror.
That one sticks with you. So Rhiannon made a plan, which is that she would hold off from listening to Scaredy Boys for the rest of the year, and then she would marathon every movie we had watched to date in October of 2020.
Oh man.
Follow it up by binging all the Scaredy Boys episodes.
Oh, Rhiannon, that is not the way. That's like, it's like hoarding all of your Easter eggs and then picking a day to eat them and then doing a marathon the next day.
It is, yeah, the analogy that I thought of is like you're on a cliff over a pool of water and you just jump right in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm rattled.
So she figured that she was going to scare herself out of her mind with horror movies in order to listen to podcasts. She might as well do it all in one hit.
Jesus Christ.
So October 2020 came and she marathoned 33 horror movies.
Oh, Rhiannon. I am so impressed. That is, I could never
I couldn't do it.
Nah, no fucking way. Nah.
Unreal. It's unreal. I was blown away.
How do you marathon 30 without watching Paddington every week?
So did she watch 66 movies that month? Horror movie Paddington. Right. Horror movie Paddington.
But she says, honestly, she had a really good time.
Oh, thank God.
She has, Rhiannon says that she, we may have noticed that she was being kind of bad. So she said that having a specific goal and doing a simple sort of low impact task every day for a month was enjoyable in and of itself. But a month straight of fictional threats and artificial tension instead of relentless IRL stress was weirdly cathartic for her.
Yeah, okay.
She says by the time she hit number 14, which was Alien, which is one of her favorite movies of all time, she'd just basically pretty much given up on being afraid and was just genuinely having fun.
What the fuck?
Is this the secret?
This is this. It's exactly what
exposure.
Was it Adam was saying the same thing that he just goes, I don't care. Oh, stopped caring.
Yeah.
Stop being afraid.
Yeah, exposure therapy. I think you're right.
Man. Jeez. That's,
I don't think I'm game to try it.
No, me neither. I mean, I've done that.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Boys, we watched two in a row the other day and we had like regretted it immediately.
It was too much. Oh, it was, I all the power to Rhiannon. Yeah. This is huge. I could get if you were like watching, because I know in that 33, there's some less scary ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's some Hammer horrors. There's some fun ones,
yeah,
like a Scream. But there's still some, like It Follows is in there. The Witch is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Evil Dead is in there.
Yeah.
Host.
There are some really scary ones in there.
Yeah. So every day, another one.
Oh, the first 20 minutes of Ghost Stories in there.
That would have been enough to end the month.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. So she says that obviously she was not expecting that. She was expecting to be terrified and on edge basically all the way through to Christmas because she thought the lingering effect of doing this to herself would last till Christmas.
Christmas 2022.
Exactly right. And so she didn't look up any of the movies beforehand either. She just went into them blind. But she also says she found some real standouts of movies that she absolutely loved, notably Evil Dead, Doctor Sleep, Invisible Man, Train to Busan, Ready or Not.
All 100% quality
films. Forgot about Invisible Man. That's another real high point.
Yep.
Another high point and also really scary. That was on the shortlist of both of my sort of categories.
Yep.
And then she did also obviously find some that really scared her. Again, Evil Dead, one third of Ghost Stories, Sinister. And then for her, Host was also her scariest movie of the year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she says, scariest movie of the year aside, her point was that she had a really great time watching all these movies, even the ones that truly terrified her. And she goes on to say that she's been pretty depressed lately because of, well, everything that's happening in the world right now, and that it was great to have something fun to distract herself with. And she says she was more upbeat in October 2020 than she had been since the before times, aka pre-COVID. Now, this next part I find truly fascinating because Rhiannon says that the weird thing is that as the month got on, obviously she got less scared until the final stretch of films, excepting perhaps Host. And she says she just literally stopped being a scaredy girl.
Fuck it.
To the point where she's like, I can't put myself in that category anymore.
That is,
man, that's incredible.
Boys, I think it shows a success. It hasn't it hasn't made us any braver.
Yeah, we're not successful.
No, we're not. But
our listeners are.
Someone is.
Someone is.
Someone
out there. Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Yeah, Rhiannon, I am just like, just to sort of rewind partially, I remembered being, just what we're talking about, Host. Like, the Host scared her still, which is good to know that even though she's now brave, it scared her.
Yeah.
And we've said it's one of the scariest ones we watched. I realized I just remembered how terrified I was before watching Host.
Yeah.
Like, I was nervous the whole day.
Yes.
Before I sat down to watch it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, and the way she knows she's not a scaredy girl, and this actually rings true because this is kind of what we're just talking about, is that she no longer looks away from the screen during the scary parts. She doesn't, like, hide her face. She doesn't convince herself that there's someone else in the house, like all her usual go-to moves when watching horror movies. And she says that she lives alone, and because of some mental health issues resulting from previous bad living situations, it's really obviously important to her that she feels safe in her home, which is part of the reason she would not watch horror movies previously, because they genuinely made her feel unsafe.
Jeez.
But she says after a month of watching nothing but horror, she has stopped feeling that way.
This is the bravest thing I've ever
heard. This is incredible. Boy, we can retire. Hey, Emma, no more horror movies.
No, we can't. She can.
No, we help Rhiannon, so we never have to watch another horror movie again.
So basically she says she mostly just wanted to say thank you and that she really loves Scaredy Boys and that it's always great to hear people who appreciate and understand the craft of making movies talk about what makes movies great. And that she does really admire the commitment that the three of us have put into doing this for entire genre of movies that we don't normally enjoy. Ugh. She says, Scaredy Boys 2020 October Marathon pushed her to watch movies she would have been too cowardly to even consider watching otherwise, and ended up feeling a lot better and a lot braver for it, and found a bunch of new movies that she loves and will probably return to over and over again. And she finishes by saying that if we keep doing this long enough, maybe this will happen for us.
I believe, boys.
And then we can go to the Pillager Road.
Oh, get...
Is that the goal?
Is that the goal? Yeah, that's what I said.
The goal is never to put ourselves in mortal danger.
When we conquer fear, the show, that's its natural end. And the best way to prove that we have conquered it is to go road tripping through the haunted highway.
So we get brave only to then die in the Pillager region.
That's what it takes.
Boys, I think you're onto something, Sean. Yeah, I want to raise the stakes.
Yes, he's on me.
The minute all three of us get brave, we then become ghost hunters going to every single paranormal spot that someone's told us about.
Mate, friggin' please, sign me up.
Yeah. Port Arthur, I'll fight every ghost in that prison.
I've explained that my courage at the start of things is very high.
Oh, massive, through the ceiling.
Tomorrow I'm going to wake up sweating and be like, what have I done?
I can tell you right now, I hate this. I don't like any of this.
But Damo, you will soon.
Oh,
yeah. You'll get there, mate. Rhiannon's proof.
If I become Rhiannon,
So that's 20 years from now.
that's a good
point. Can't wait to go to the Pillager when we're in 130. Just floating heads in jars and our great-great-grandchildren are carting us there.
Yeah, we start a new show, Oldie Boys.
And she said, whether it happens for us or not, she says she's already looking forward to her Scaredy Boys 2021 October Marathon, and then she'll send us another update a year from now with how she went with the next year's batch.
So she's going to hold off until...
She's going to hold off. She's going to do it again next October. Yeah.
That's big.
She did have a PS as well.
Okay.
So the PS is that she's given us an anti-recommendation, namely a horror movie that she suggests we shouldn't watch because it's too scary.
Oh, fuck.
And guess what it might be?
Oh, is it Hereditary?
It is Hereditary.
Fuck you, Tom. You absolute sack of shit. I'm not watching.
No,
I'm not doing it.
She's given us the anti-recommendation. So I want you to paint you a word picture. So Hereditary is scary. I will give it that. It is not as scary as that Korean film that I watched.
Well, I'm not watching that either.
No, you're not. So you're going to watch Hereditary?
No, I don't think I can.
That's the goal.
Either or.
That's the goal.
Hey, look, you've got a better chance at Midsommar.
All right, we'll watch Midsommar.
No, you've got a better chance. Damn it. Fuck.
So this is her review of Hereditary. She says that her terrible sister forced her to watch it and it scared her worse than anything has ever scared her in her life. Oh, she slept with every light on in the house for 4 months.
Fucking hell.
Afterwards, she says it was a truly incredibly, beautifully crafted 5 out of 5 movie that she does not recommend.
I can trust that review. And Damo, I think I'm happy to commit to never watching it.
Great, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
If we get Toni Collette on this show, will you watch it?
If you can get her,
that's my goal.
Do that then.
Just going to send her an email every day. I host a podcast. My friends are too scared to see Hereditary. They'll watch it if you come on the podcast to talk about it. It's 30 minutes. My name's Tom.
if you can get Toni, fine.
Done. Now to find someone who's really good at doing Toni Collette.
So that's Rhiannon's story. Scared to go got brave. Yeah. Isn't that unreal?
That's brilliant.
That's an inspiration.
Yeah, it is an inspiration.
That's, you know what? That's going to get me through next year. That's going to get me through more horror films.
Mm. God.
I wish I'd have read this email before we did that fuck double bill.
Yeah, I know.
Well, on next year, I did want to have a quick chat about next year as well because I was looking at our list while trying to figure out my favorite movie / scariest movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, geez, we went easy on ourselves in the latter half of this year.
Can I counterpoint to that? I mean, I agree with you. We did. However, when we got certain guests on, like, you know, Jackson Bailey, for instance, he didn't, he picked Mirrors and Fire in the Sky. So, we said, mate, pick whatever you want. And he picked two that, you know, weren't super scary. Same probably with Adam. Adam picked Overlord, which we really enjoyed because it was
fun. Adam probably had some scary ones on his list that we
met. So, just so you know,
probably. All right,
Adam did have Hereditary and I said that you'd never watch it.
Yeah, okay.
And he also had Cabin Fever, which you both knocked back. Just for the record.
I don't remember that. I don't recall that one.
So I like this because it proves we are definitely still scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I think Cass wanted Hereditary as well.
Yeah, she did.
And Midsommar and something else that was really fucked. Like Mungo, possibly.
Yeah, which we should do, boys.
So, we should do. And here's why. We want to be around it. We want to...
Yeah.
The whole point of this podcast is that we do scare ourselves. Look, 2020 was tough. I don't mind us choosing some easy affair to get through some Paddingtons, some Hammers, some fun Ready or Nots. I do think for 2021, We need to bring the scares.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, you're on board with this idea because it's in its infancy.
Yeah, no, I
can see then you're bravest.
100%. No, this is a great fucking idea. Yeah. Scare me. Come on. No, I agree.
Yeah.
The occasional good fun time. Right. Please.
So yeah. We have a big long list of horror movies that we've...
It's a huge list.
We've put on our list or people have recommended, which we thank you for. That's great. There is like a scarier part of this list that we have yet to really dip our toe into.
It always gets pushed to the bottom.
Yeah, it always does. It always does.
And we just cherry pick. Oh, has that got Peter Cushing in it? Great.
So yeah, for season two, I think what I'm basically getting at is that we dip our toe into that scary end of the pool.
I think so. I think it means then we have to invite Joel Dusha back on the show because he's only done one episode. We're too scared of what he's going to pick.
It's worth noting that Joel Dusha gave us a list of about 6 or 7 films, and in choosing Evil Dead, we picked the safest option on that list. So he's a big fucking dog. Yeah, we'll get him back. Oh, man.
So that's going to be season two of Scaredy Boys. Scariest one yet.
Fucking hell.
Oh, boy. Strap yourselves in. Can't wait for 2021 to end with you boys watching Hereditary with me.
Oh, God. I mean, if we're doing that, then we're going to be watching it in the car on the way to the Pilliger.
No. Sean. We drive to the Pilliger and watch it there.
Maybe we just like hold it on a screen to scare away all the other ghosts that are out there.
Pilliger Princess will see it, shit herself, and that's it. We've saved the Pilliger.
We've saved the Pilliger region.
Yeah.
And that is all the scary talk we have for this year. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And we want to thank everyone for listening this season. It has been genuinely a great part of my year. It's been really great getting emails and having other scaredy boys or scaredy girls email us and say they love it, or even just people who love horror sort of emailing in. We will be taking the next 2 weeks off, but we'll be back after that with a whole new batch of episodes for you. I did also want to say, if you've enjoyed the show and you want to help us out, the best thing beyond just throwing money at us is to recommend the show to people, whether it's by telling your friends or shouting about it to random people on the street or leaving a review online. It all helps, and we would genuinely appreciate it. Otherwise, if you have any comments or like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @scaredyboys, or individually, I'm at @middaypyjamas.
I'm @carney from 55.
And I'm @awkwardtrade.
Stay scared, everyone.